Greetings. This is John Delancey, and you are listening to This Week in Geek.net.
Welcome out to The Prototype. I am your host, Mike the Birdman Dodd from ThisWeekInGeek.net, and I'm not alone as we trek through E3 2018. I am joined on my left with
Mr. Christopher.
And returning to the show,
Alex.
That's right. We are taking a look at E3 2018 held in the greater Los Angeles area. Hopefully you've been watching E3 on YouTube and Twitch or whatever streaming service you happen to be watching this on. Now, we have talked about some of the major press conferences so far. We had predictions, we had reactions, and now we're going to talk about everything else that has happened. We've had Bethesda, Ubisoft, Square Enix, and Nintendo.
Oh, and PC.
And PC.
And then
less said, the better. The
limited run games and Tiny Build.
So yeah, we've had a lot of stuff to definitely talk about here, and this will be probably, if there's any more E3 coverage, we'll probably talk a little bit more later on this week when Twig airs on Sunday night. But I guess let's kind of go around the room, kind of get a feeler for it. Let's start with Tristan. What did you think of E3 2018?
There's some highlights and some lowlights. Highlights including Bethesda's coverage.
Yeah, I was very impressed with them.
I was glued to it. I needed to wake up pretty early in the morning, and I could not put my phone down. I was watching the conference on my cell phone in full screen, and I just couldn't put it away. I was watching and waiting and seeing each new announcement to see if it was more exciting than the last, and pretty much.
And you got
personally
thanked.
For the last half hour, it was.
You got personally thanked, because they're like, and our good friends at Walmart Canada. For knowing how to keep a secret.
Hooray.
They're pretty good at handling that whole situation.
For all the faults it may have or may not have, your opinions may vary. There is actually some pretty good policy in place for that, and keeping things under wraps and working with the retailers like
and
that.
I worked retail for years, and I know that they would get generally a month ahead. It's already in their system. Usually only managers can see it. It'll say, like, Nintendo or something, but it'll have
a date or whatever.
Well, it won't even have that. It'll just be a SKU number that means nothing.
Yeah.
Only management can see what it is. And then a planogram would come out with the actual signage for it.
Yeah.
And it sounds like they got the planogram and just went, boop, here it is. But that's what happened with the Sega Racing game, the Sonic one.
Yeah, Sonic and Racing.
They released a fraction on their Twitter. They were going to release a fraction of a picture every day to make a whole mosaic. And they released that fraction of a screenshot, and Walmart went, let's just post the whole game. and Sega went, well, fuck, I guess we got to release that information now. So that's two games they messed up.
But so what did you think of Sony's press conference?
I thought the games that they presented are amazing. They're very beautiful games. They're very intense games. Things that you'd really have to sit down and watch and enjoy, and not even just play, but like be part of an experience. But the actual presentation of the conference itself was a little lackluster. It was
very disjointed.
Yeah, it felt difficult to follow. It felt like they kind of rushed a few of their points together last second. They had these ideas of, let's make this great experience for the actual E3 goers, where they get to sit in a location from The Last of Us Part 2, and then they have to get up and walk and go to a new place while we try to busy the rest of the audience by talking about some other stuff for a few minutes.
Yeah, and they're like, well, we're just going to kill just a few minutes here. And you could tell they were struggling for time.
Yeah, they're like, please, please let them be ready because we got nothing left to say. And then the rest of the presentation, there's just these weird, random 5-second musical interludes of a banana playing the guitar. Okay.
Yeah,
so random. I am Katie lifts up Spork.
It was odd, to say the very least.
It wasn't just that. They had abysmal sound issues when they were off-site.
And walkie-talkie guy?
They cut to an empty desk in the middle of a presentation.
Not just that. First of all, the mics weren't working half the time at all. And we're talking not working at all. Not even on. And then they would have the stage director or whoever's producing the segment. He had a hot mic, and you could hear him giving stage directions to people. You go out now, walk out that way. No, not that way. And they had that live.
Amateur hour. That happened in PC Gamer as well. PC Gaming Conference. There was one. Yeah. There was the, well, I mean, no one cares about the PC Gaming Conference, but the there was a game, the hospital, and the two doctors came out, one of their mics wasn't working, and immediately you could hear the stage director, what's going on with the mic, because it was just screaming at the audience. So it wasn't just Sony that was having the problems, but Sony really should know better and should be better.
This is, like, if we're going one show at a time or one presentation, this is Sony's worst presentation production-wise that I've ever seen for E3.
Yeah, this is arguably one of their worst.
Not the games. Now, while there were not a lot of games to show off either, I felt that was a little lackluster. The quality was really up there. It's just, this to me screamed a company that is afraid of their finances. Yet they're supposed to be on top as far as this console generation.
Yeah.
Something that really rubbed me the wrong way in that presentation is very early on, they said, you know, we're going to focus on our four pillar games, and you shouldn't come to our E3 conference expecting surprises. Don't look for any sort of out of nowhere reveals. I mean, yeah, they ended up saying, hey, Resident Evil.
Yeah,
but
they showed a couple things, but it's
still, they said, you know, don't expect anything crazy. Don't, like, they were trying to lower our expectations for anything like Final Fantasy VII. But saying that early on, yes, you're trying to temper our expectations, but you're also making me want to turn it off.
Yeah,
I know what you have to offer now. There's nothing new here.
I have a feeling a lot of people tuned out completely. It looked like amateur hour. That, and it might be something personal. I can't stand the current CEO. He's just pompous. His attitude.
He comes across as corporate buzzword man.
Also, his posture. Somebody at Sony should tell him how to talk to an audience. He always presents himself with his head tilted upwards, like he's looking down at you.
Speaking down his nose at you.
No. He looks like a suit.
He's a man for the investors, not for the gamers.
Whereas Jack Trenton before was, that you would think that too, until you stand him up next to this dude. And it's like, what is going on with this company? Like, it's like they took somebody from Sony's accounting division and made him in charge. Which might very well be. This is not somebody who's a salesman who can talk to the audience. And then they put him out in a tent or outside, you know, in an area talking to people where the mics are barely working. It was just, if this was his decision to make the show like this, it was garbage, and it's going to have to change next year.
Part of the problem that I noticed, anyway, from a presentation angle, was noticing when they started the presentation very strongly off with The Last of Us, The Last of Us Part 2, they introduced who the guy was. I knew who he was. Nobody else did. Like, Gustavo, and I can't pronounce his last name, but he's the main composer for The Last of Us, and that's why, Alex, when you put out on Twitter, who's this dueling banjo guy? I'm about to say, that's one of the best composers in video games right now, but nobody knew who he was. Well,
it was set up in such a way that the audience didn't care.
Yeah, and this is The Last of Us 2. This should be game of show.
Like, is that what about the fucking flute player?
Yeah, what was that?
It was neat, but it was too long, and I didn't understand what was happening.
Did it come off as culturally insensitive to anybody else?
When I'm watching it, all I saw in my head was Mickey Rooney. Oh, hello. From Breakfast at Tiffany's. Why couldn't they have gotten somebody that was appropriate?
Authentic.
Or not to mention, this guy wasn't very good at playing it. He was getting off key many times, too.
You could really hear him just blowing at it.
Like, and there was this was not a mass... It sounded like a kid playing on his grade school recorder.
Honestly, if you're going to show me, because this was for the Ghost Shadow of whatever, I can't pronounce it.
Sumara or something?
I feel terrible.
You're telling me there is not a Japanese band in Los Angeles that could pull this off or bring the guys over from Japan?
Or somebody that can actually play the Japanese flute?
Not this old-looking white dude. And I know that's...
He probably had, like, 2 hours to learn it first thing in the morning. Like, oh, yeah, a regular guy called in sick for this. You're going to need to learn how to play this. Flood your fingers over the holes for a while and blow at it.
The big meme coming over the internet is the picture of Steve Buscemi in the movie dressed that way, too.
He's like, hello, fellow kids.
And that was played for being, you know, that was the joke. But this was supposed to be taken seriously.
Yeah. And the game looked cool.
But the fact that we're focusing on this part of the presentation shows you that the games were great, but the presentation was so bad that we're nitpicking.
It's distracting from the actual game itself. As for the game itself, it looks nice. I'm worried about those camera angles. Because the combat's happening and the camera's not moving. Am I going to have to adjust where I'm kind of aiming myself as I play? I get the feeling
this was a scripted demo.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that's the case, that it was basically these camera angles are for the sake of cinematic purpose, not for actual gameplay. Here's in-game engine things, but we've kind of made it our own thing and not actually reflective of how the game will play.
Prediction, this game is going to be one of those ones similar to Halo on the Xbox, where it's a 50 gig install from the disc and then another 10 or 20 gigs to download. Because the graphics in there, that obviously that was playing at 4K on a PS4 Pro, but the textures on there look so crisp and clear. All these titles, I have prediction that you need to download at least 10 to 20 gigs to even play these games.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that seems like a lot.
Because Halo 5 Guardians, it's 101 gigs. You can only fit 48 gigs on one disc. And that's the first time I had seen that. That was from, obviously, Microsoft, but these games have that level of texture quality.
Absolutely.
And the sound design. Sound is a huge component in file size.
And they're lossless DTS. That's how they're all going to be on the PlayStation. So, I don't know if anything else... What else did they premiere there? Wasn't there a
Neo 2, which is surprising, considering Neo 1 came out last year.
Is it Neo 2?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I my feed was being choppy as people kept jumping in and out when I was watching it. That was one thing I noticed a lot.
One thing that it was rumored as a leak, and I was very surprised to see it, Resident Evil 2, which has been dated for January 19th.
That's not like, I'm not part of the Resident Evil fan base. Is that a remake of the PS1 game?
Or
is it, okay, so it's not a case of there was a reimagined series and this is a sequel to that.
No, this is not
adopting the name. This
isn't like
the
Tomb Raider game where there's a new series of Tomb Raider games.
No, this is a direct sequel to the GameCube remake, which came out about 15 years ago or more.
Okay.
And then the games have been subsequently released on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. So they're built. So they're obviously doubling down on Resident Evil. This has been rumored in development for years.
It's nice seeing Capcom have something
other than Mega Man and Street Fighter.
Mega Man, Street Fighter.
And Devil May Cry 5 this year.
Yeah, that was
dated.
Did they show it there?
No, that was at the Microsoft conference.
Because wasn't there a Platinum Games game premiered there? Was that Babylon's Fall? Or what? They're blending together all these shows now with me.
Well, there's a lot of Japanese-style games.
Looking back over
that?
The last 4 days, I'm
Babylon's
having trouble
Fall
remembering.
Was at that show.
I think that was Square.
Was it Square?
Yeah, Square's presentation.
Oh,
that's
it was
one
Square because they aired. That's right.
Okay. Yeah, Babylon's Fall, The Silent Man, or The Silencer.
But yeah,
no, The Quiet Man.
Okay, but yeah. So I guess because they aired right around the same time. Going into Square's one, all I have to say is 3 points.
Why'd you bother show up?
Why'd you show up if you weren't going to show anything? Really?
They showed the same trailer for Kingdom Hearts 3, except slightly different for Sonic.
Yeah, there was like another.
You got Captain
one
Jack.
One scene in.
Where's Final Fantasy VII? This is telling me, like, not even a screenshot, nothing, no information. And nothing for The World Ends With You, which is coming out this year on the Switch. They've announced it's this year. They showed nothing that was out, that or nothing new that was coming out, except for those couple titles that were at least a year away. They've got basically nothing. They've got Just Cause 4. Just Cause. Which may or may not sell well at all, because the last game didn't sell that great until they made it discounted.
It's neat, but it doesn't really have a lot of pull.
For a company that size, 3 titles that they're showing off. Like, they're one of the top 5 or 6 biggest publishers, and they only have 3 titles. And
Dragon Quest.
And isn't Kingdom Hearts slated for next year?
Yes.
Yeah, January.
So they literally have 2 games for the rest of the year that are coming out.
Tomb Raider should do pretty good business because a lot of people want to see how the series ends, or at least the reboot series
ends. But Just Cause has never sold really well for them.
It's a niche.
Yeah.
But people like it because it's Grand Theft Auto, but everything blows up.
Yeah.
Which
would
be a good
way to
describe
it. A little bit more wacky freedom.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it doesn't look cool. I'm saying it's not a big seller, so it's like you'd think they'd want to pull out all the stops. Look what we got coming. Even if it's teasers. Even if it's just a screenshot.
Yeah, I mean, if you'd show me a new rendered cinematic from Final Fantasy VII, that would have held people over.
Or even if it popped up and it just said Final Fantasy VII, because they had a new team there had working on it since January.
Yeah.
To say, we're underway. They could have just interviewed the people. Look what we're working on. Here's a couple models.
Yeah, like here's Aeris's first scene, or here's our first look at Cloud, or Barret,
we haven't forgotten about this title. Here's what we got.
I think it's like November or something when The World Ends With You is coming out on the Switch, and it's hard dated. So why was there not even a screenshot of it?
Maybe Gamescom or Tokyo Game Show?
I think it's going to get pushed. There's a lot of titles they had announced. And also, they did show briefly Dragon Quest, but that's already coming out in September. Every game they showed, with the exception of those two smaller titles, the Babylon one and the Silent Man, was it called?
The Quiet Man.
Quiet Man. Those two games, nothing else was new, really.
Yeah.
And that whole show was like 25 minutes long.
Yeah, it was really, really, really short. I mean, this was the year of the short presser.
In previous years...
You were the PC Gaming Show, which wouldn't fucking end.
They used to do 1.5-hour shows where it would be about 20 minutes of these trailers, but in between, they would have people interviewing and doing... They had nobody there. It's like nobody from Square Enix showed up.
Yeah, it was really odd. I was really surprised. Now, I'd like to know what's on the floor right now at E3, but...
Yeah, so you've got that, and they've got... Don't they have all the old Ido stuff? There was nothing from the team in Montreal.
Hitman 2.
Was there any... Or is Montreal doing Tomb Raider?
Yes. I believe so.
Okay, because they are the ones that also do Deus Ex. And there was nothing on that front. No rumblings from them or anything.
No. But there was Hitman 2 and there was Shadow of the Tomb Raider.
And they didn't show Hitman 2 at their press, did they? They showed it at the PC press conference.
They showed more at the PC press conference. They showed a little bit.
Yeah, like a little teaser.
Yeah, but you saw more at PC.
So that was basically it for those two.
Yeah.
Because we already covered EA.
To talk about Bethesda briefly, the big news out of that is we're getting a Doom sequel already.
Doom Eternal.
That looks cool. Which will basically be Doom 2 Hell on Earth. A new Wolfenstein game dated for next year.
Youngblood.
That's a sequel.
That looks cool.
It's a standalone sequel. So I'm guessing it's similar to the Old Blood, where it is a full separate game.
Yeah.
But not maybe the length of the others. It's
a co-op experience as well.
They used to just call those standalone expansions, right?
Yeah.
So that looks interesting to me, but it means I have to go back and play all of them now because I haven't played any of them.
They showed more from Rage 2 with a really awkward performance by Andrew WK. Like, nobody in that audience knew who he was.
He hasn't had a hit in 20 years. Since, like, 2001.
Yeah, but you go to his concerts and you are in for a good time.
But the problem is he sounded terrible.
Whoever was in charge.
His band sounded terrible. It sounded like they didn't mix him, and it was just, like, his voice on top of everybody else. And the band didn't sound right. They were playing at different speeds. I don't know. It's like maybe their earpieces weren't working.
Yeah, there was something very off-putting about that performance. And Rage 2 itself, I've never been a big fan of the Rage franchise. It doesn't look interesting to me. It's just not my thing, and I'm Mr. First Person Shooter.
When I see Rage, I don't know if that's the case. I see it as where they're debuting their new technology. Where it used to be Doom was that. Doom looks like it's where they're refining things now. Because all their other games are being announced, for the most part, having Switch ports.
Yeah.
Except for Rage. So it's like, here's the newest technology. You're going to get Bleeding Edge. It's not going to be optimized for other platforms, but it's going to work here. And then in like 2 or 3 years, they go, hey, look, we can now do this on the Switch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll probably get Rage probably 2 years. On the Switch. A year, 2 years, give or take. Another big piece of news from Bethesda is... they talked about Starfield finally, which we know it's Starfield. It happened in space.
It gave me a little bit of a half chub going because it didn't show much, but it is a... I'm hoping it's a spaceship-based RPG. I want
Skyrim in space.
I want it to be not planet hopping. I want it to be in space where you're boarding other ships and you're investigating things like that. Think Star Citizen, but will actually come out.
Yeah, actually finishes the development cycle.
Yeah.
Like and their latest announcement for Star Citizen was coming soon, Alpha Build 3.2. Like, dude, this game was like 2 years overdue already.
They had over $300 million in funding. Where'd it go?
It's going into the game and making it better than ever.
But it's never gonna get released because by the time it comes out, the engine will be old.
Yeah, they're gonna have to constantly just
rebuild
over
the game over and over and over again.
It's Duke 4 all over again. But yeah, back to Bethesda. I am not a Bethesda fanboy. In fact, I'm trying to think of games of theirs that I've actually beaten, and it is zero. I have played the games. I hated Oblivion. Hated it with a passion.
Which is surprising, because you like role-playing games.
I do. I hate first-person role-playing games. Hate it. I also hated the fact that there was no... I felt that there was no story. That it's like, I want to be guided and then branch my paths. I don't want to just be like, boop, here you go. I don't like being thrown in the middle of nothing and just go. I like having an indicator as to where to go. I know they fixed that in Skyrim. They had, like, waypoints and stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that is on my list of things because we had a challenge to play. I have to play my Switch copy of it to completion.
And I have to play through the Dragon Age series.
Yes. So I will. And I know Skyrim is the best of that experience. So I haven't played that. I maybe Wolfenstein, but Wolfenstein originally wasn't theirs either until they bought id Software, right?
Yeah.
So I've played Return to Castle Wolfenstein, like, in 2001.
And that was from Raven Software at that point.
So I haven't played anything else of theirs. So, but this stuff was interesting to me. The I know there's the new Skyrim, or not Skyrim, the new Elder Scrolls.
Six.
That's like 2 years to 3 years away.
Yeah, that was easily. Just, the teaser was 10 seconds of, like, Tamriel flying over landscapes.
We've started development, meaning they've got probably two or three guys working in the concept art department. And they'll have one person writing a basic concept for it.
Yeah.
One writer, and they'll have one or two artists. And then everybody else is working on the new Star Wars game.
Well, my prediction is we will not see Elder Scrolls 6 on this generation of consoles.
No.
No.
I believe that this the space-based, their new franchise, will be one of those ones that spans two generations.
Yeah.
It'll come out, especially if Microsoft is actually coming out with a new system next year. It'll be something that spans both. And will be one of those ones that works best on whatever the newest system coming out is, because we all know that their games tend to break the first little bit when they come out.
I'm glad they recognize that.
Very self-aware. And speaking of self-awareness, the in-joke about how they've just released Skyrim on everything.
Oh,
I appreciate the joke about Skyrim on Alexa. Very special edition.
No, I want the Etch-a-Sketch version.
That was very funny.
Getting Keegan from Key & Peele was perfect for
it. Absolutely.
Eat all the cheese. What's the doctor say about dairy?
Eat the cheese. Eat it anyway. The big elephant in the room. We got to talk about it. New trailer. More information. Fallout Vault 76. Or Fallout 76, sorry.
Yeah, I'm excited. I know it's a very divisive topic. I'm not really sure.
Because it's online all the time.
The online dozens all of players. The time, I'm not so sure about. But the multiplayer Fallout, I don't know why people are so opposed to it.
I think what they're afraid of is if I see you in my game, I'm going to be a dick and steal all your shit.
And 90% of people will.
I have a feeling, though, they'll have multiple options, and there'll be PV environment ones versus PvP.
Yeah.
They'll make it so that you can't steal somebody's shit.
I hope it doesn't turn into troll the game.
If they make it so that people can just gank you, that game will not sell. It'll sell crazy the first week. And then people won't play.
Yeah, people will go away because what they're building
lose that
towards.
Crazy. This is probably $100 million investment for them.
Oh yeah,
the game. So,
and it looks like it's running on a modified version of Fallout 4. Looking at the
HUD. It does feel a lot like Fallout 4's style. It's graphics. It's everything to it.
Yeah,
I know you had said it's any game in the series is a good entry point. And here's the thing: I had tried playing Fallout 4. I tried playing Fallout 3 back then, and I just could never get into them again. It's a first-person sort of thing. And I think a lot of it is I don't like games that have zero color. And I know it's Fallout, so the idea is
nuclear wasteland.
Yes. This being a prequel to everything, I think, was on purpose, obviously. They could move the storyline further on, but this is a way to get new people in.
Yeah, because Fallout 1 and 2 were 20 years removed because those were Interplay titles way back in the day.
So for me, this is probably going to... To be honest, I will probably get the game. I probably won't keep this game forever. It's not going to be my Skyrim or, like, I know you play, like, these games four or five times in a row.
Yeah.
I'll probably do one big playthrough and trade it in, but then I can finally say I've played a Fallout game.
Bethesda games are the type of games I will platinum. I will get every achievement possible.
And I will
Bethesda games are the type of games that I will keep going back and playing the first 5 hours of over and over again and then get distracted by something else.
Something shiny.
Now, if this is the case, I will get the Xbox version. I'm normally a PS4 gamer because I have the Pro versus the Xbox Slim that I got, yes. But I will get this on Xbox if it meant playing with Don, especially in your case, you could already get it on PC because it's going to have cross-play compatibility.
Yeah, that will definitely fall
maybe not
that.
Between platforms
not
that
Sony,
way, but at least with Windows. So there's a possibility of us all actually playing together.
Mm-hmm.
So I would do that.
Absolutely.
But other than that, like, I'm excited for that. Like, it actually got me excited for a franchise that I had no interest in.
One of the big things that came out of Bethesda's conference as well is Bethesda's known for their special editions.
Yeah.
Vault 76 Power Armor Edition.
The functional helmet.
I got mine, which is based upon the T-51 power armor.
The functional headlamp and voice modulator.
I'm so excited for this. Holy shit, am I excited.
But is it going
to fit
your
head? You need to do an entire podcast with that on.
Yeah, oh my God. Oh God. What a great idea.
But is it going to fit your head? Because is it made for kids or is it going to be made for us?
It'll be made for adults.
Biggins with our biggin' heads.
Like, I was disappointed when that old Halo helmet came out and it wasn't wearable because it was too small.
Oh, we called it the cat helmet for years. Oh my God. Trying to think of what else that came out of that.
From them? That, they were pretty concise. Everything built
up. A lot of mobile stuff, too. Yeah, Blades mobile.
Yeah, Elder Scrolls Blades. That looks weird.
Looks fun, though.
Playable, but weird.
And then they also had...
Free makes it playable.
Quake Tournament.
Which is now free if you go to quakechampions.com or something.
Yeah, they had that. I don't think... It didn't really...
Fallout Shelter is now available on the Switch.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty big deal because it's free.
That's it, actually. I think that's everything.
Oh, if you currently play Fallout Shelter, log into your game now and get some free stuff.
Yeah, you got a couple free lunch boxes.
And then we got Ubisoft.
Ubisoft let fan... You want to talk about how to do a musical performance? You follow Ubisoft's example.
I was going
to
say, that
was fun.
It pulled me in. It made had the same feel of last year's one with the Mario
Dancing
team.
Shark? Or the Dancing Panda.
Where they had, remember the Video Game Awards?
Yeah.
Where they had the whole, that's what it felt like.
Like, there's a lot of fun with Ubisoft. They know how to bring energy. I mean, think back to 2010. Do you guys remember when they came out with the fucking laser tag and it was ridiculously stupid and went nowhere?
Yeah.
They've learned, like, okay, the crowd likes us. How can we capitalize on this? And when they've got the Just Dance franchise, as you realize it's not just a Wii title anymore, you can do so much more with it. And when they put the production value, I mean, the dancers, the marching band, the friggin' ninja guy jumping all over the place, it got people excited. That room felt alive.
I missed the opening because I was traveling back from a doctor's appointment. And I got in and I was like, you're like, look at the musical. And I'm like, oh, I missed it.
It was so much fun. Like, I think after we're done the podcast, I got to show you the first two minutes of this.
Yeah, see, I only caught the very end.
After that, they started talking about Trials Fusion. Or no, Trials... What the fuck was it called? Not Fusion. It's a new Trials game.
I did remember laughing. I'm like, I know it was all scripted for the guy to hurt himself, but it was hilarious. Because the way he fell, he fell pretty good. He fell funny good.
Oh, yeah.
And not like goofy funny good. He fell enough that if my mom or grandma had walked by, they would have been like, oh my God, that poor man. Which is the funny kind of fall.
And it looks kind of fun. And they actually brought out a small YouTuber. He only has like 8,000 subscribers or something like that. And Mr. Fat University or something like that. Mr. Fats or some shit like that. Yeah. And Ubisoft's encouraging people to learn how to play this game so they can be ready for when the game comes out in February. That's awesome. Ubisoft's community support this year has been fantastic. They're doing a Rainbow Six Siege documentary about, I think it's 8 or 9 different players within the competitive scene who said Rainbow Six has changed their lives. They're winning money. They're winning tournaments. And there's going to be like, I think Rainbow Six has run for 10 seasons, 40 or 10 operators or 10 seasons, something like that.
Yeah.
And it looks great. And the community manager was genuinely excited. The crowd was into him. And I found that something kind of special this year. There was no goofy sports title this year, like Steep, or that game where you play as the eagle and you fly around.
Didn't
you remember
they show
that?
Off some skateboarding game, or is that EA?
That was Microsoft, and that was Session.
Yeah.
Which evidently made everybody pissed because it wasn't Skate 4.
Or Tony Hawk or something. Actually, I talked about this on another podcast. One of the people from IGN, I think it's Max Scoville, checked out Skate... No, or was it Ricky for the win? It was either Ricky from Machinima or Max Scoville had said, I just played this game. It controls like shit. They
Doesn't
have a year
me.
To figure this
Doesn't
out.
Doesn't surprise me. They didn't show any gameplay.
No.
Because it's probably garbage.
Which sucks, because we need a new Skate.
Well, like, Steep hasn't come out on the Switch yet, and it was supposed to come out last August.
Man, they need to put money back into the Shaun White franchise. I'm just saying.
Or anyway. 1080 snowboarding.
Ubisoft's stab at Sea of Thieves, Skull and Bones.
That looks cool.
It looks cool, but at the same time, it looked choppy to me. And it wasn't my stream, because everything was fine afterward. Like, it wasn't a frame rate issue, but it looks like it's only going to be 30 frames per second, or at least the video they showed, unless they had an encoding problem with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it just looked a little jerky the way things were moving.
I'd be very curious to see how that plays. As you compared it to Sea of Thieves, it's like Sea of Thieves, but for adults.
Yeah, it's so like, okay, well, Sea of Thieves beat us to the punch by making this kind of new concept, but we're going to make it better.
Yeah.
Also, it looks like it's one person controlling each ship, so it doesn't look like it's a collaborative effort to actually save.
Although you can call other ships to help you.
Yeah.
In which case, they openly say, oh, yeah, they can help you take down this Commodore, but then they're going to stab you right in the fucking back.
Oh, yeah. And what else was there? There was, oh, the Beyond Good and Evil.
Which looks cool, but they've been talking about that for like 10 years.
But also, it's the same as last year. It's a cinematic. There's nothing of gameplay.
Although, they did have Joseph Gordon-Levitt come out from his, I can't remember the name of his studio, but they're encouraging artists and musicians to come out to contribute artwork and music to the game. And they get paid.
Oh, neat.
So that's a huge deal. This is great for exposure. And you can actually make some money if they like what you're putting into the game. So if you can imagine what a space monkey listens to, you can make some money.
Yep.
It's too bad they didn't have like a talk radio session. Otherwise, we'd totally submit something. That'd be awesome. Space radio?
I think. And then there's... They had a couple other titles. They showed off...
Transference. Elijah Wood came on stage.
Which is weird. That game looks weird.
But it's also, I believe, VR only.
Yeah.
Which I don't
care. Feels like an Until Dawn spiritual kind of...
It's like it messes with your emotions, like you're living through someone else's eyes or something.
Yeah.
It's not the exact same, but I get a Sin City feel, like the way shots are composed in it.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what to make of it.
Layered mosaic shots where you're never really in one place at one time.
So then, I guess, the big three titles there?
Starlink,
absolutely. Including Star Fox.
And of course,
they had to bring up Miyamoto because last year was awesome. Those two guys are the cutest people ever. it sounds weird to say that, but they're just cute on stage together.
Hearing Shigeru Miyamoto speak French was crazy.
It was weird.
It was weird, but it was cool.
It's like, that's a guy who loves his industry.
Well, also, if you look at the head of Ubi, I lost
the word. Gears something? Yes.
There is somebody who is a creative director for the entire company that you can see it's not phony. He genuinely loves what he's doing. And I think that you can feel it in most of the games that they're publishing lately.
He's doing this because he's passionate about it. And that's a lot of where Nintendo's success has been for years.
And this is going to be the version of the game to buy because of Star Fox.
Oh, yeah. I guarantee you will be hard-pressed to find a copy come December.
This isn't a case of like a Soul Calibur where there's a different character for each system. No.
Yeah, it is Star Fox's Switch exclusive. Good luck.
And everybody else is exactly the same version.
Yep. Like, I'm going to pre-order my copy tomorrow.
And it's $99 Canadian to get the Star Fox one.
Which is cheap for a toy-come-to-life game.
It's not a collector's edition.
No.
The only version comes with Star Fox.
That's so cool.
So they're not going to run out.
I'm going to play as the R-Wing. I'm excited.
So you've got that. Then you've got the next Assassin's Creed. Is there other...
Odyssey.
Odyssey.
Which looks so cool.
I love ancient Greece. I always have. So I'm pumped.
I'm playing as fucking Wonder Woman Cassandra. I'm going to Spartan kick everybody.
I do like that. They're giving it more of an RPG aspect of choosing your own path.
Yeah. They're kind of taking a step back from just you are an assassin and you do the assassin thing and hay bale jump and all that stuff. Like, it's Assassin's Creed in spirit, but this is set in ancient Greece. You do you.
Yeah, and they're adding, like, I think there's romance options. Yeah, you can play as two different characters.
Yeah, it's not gender-locked romance options in there, so you can just explore whatever you want to explore.
Yeah, you get Alexios and Cassandra, and they showed off a lot of Cassandra gameplay. It looks cool. I'm interested to see what it adds to the lore of the Assassins and the Templars, because Origins added a lot and rebooted some stuff, because the first three games in the Assassin's Creed trilogy kind of screwed the pooch. Adding what the hell was the guy from the future in our timeline? I can't even remember his name. That's how I care.
Assassin's Creed 1 and 2 I played and beat. Assassin's Creed 3 I played, enjoyed a little while, and then fell off. I'm like, okay, this isn't really...
See, I jumped in at 4 and I've played everything since.
I haven't played Black Flag, and it Black Flag. There's one for the books. Black
That's a
Flag.
Slip.
No, you don't have to... That is a slip of the tongue.
It was a slip. So, Black Flag. One of my favorite games of all time.
What are your names? Bob and Neil, or is that just something you do?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
A little Andrew Dice Clay for you.
But yeah, I mean, there's a lot there to be excited about. What was the other big Ubisoft title we saw?
The Division 2.
Yes, that looks actually...
My God.
I'm thinking more and more this is going to be a Twig crew game.
Yeah.
This is... I played a lot of the original Division, and it looks like they are perfectly addressing the problems with the Division 1. The bullet sponge mechanic is being modified in a way where there's still a challenge, but the challenges that are there are being given context and reason. If it takes a while to take someone down, it's because they have armor, and you can chip away at that armor visibly.
Although, I will say this, one of the funniest parts is when they show the Division 2 during the Microsoft presentation. As we discussed before, nobody talks like this.
The dialogue. Yeah. I feel like it's almost being put in on purpose because it's cheesy and unrealistic.
When that game came out, it was actually the first game. I bought my Xbox One to play that with people at work.
I got a copy of The Division with my keyboard.
See, my coworkers at the time were super, super hyped about it, and they hyped me every day at work for it, that I went with my Boxing Day money and bought the system a couple years back and bought the game. And we played it pretty much like we would be done our shift at work, go home, and then spend 3 hours a night playing it every day, to the point where we were end game within a week. And I played the beta with him and everything. But when you got to the end, those raids were impossible without you had to play hundreds of even maybe thousands of hours to be top tier.
And even
because
now
you needed
it's
super
difficult.
Good gear.
Even now it's difficult. You can get into certain parts of the end game with your set bonuses, but you really have to kind of perfect things to do the top end stuff.
I don't remember the name of it because it's been a while, but there was that one raid where you're basically in a, I think it's underground, like in a chemical plant, and the raid's coming, and they're throwing waves after waves. Like
yeah,
70
there's just
waves
too many, and they're bullet sponges, so they take too long to die, so you end up overwhelmed.
Now, I love the story. I love the lore. I replayed the first instanced level, like the first boss, where you run into the, I think it's the mall, where you're going up the escalator in the department store.
Yeah.
I did that probably 200 times so that I could get some special gear. And I had no problem just doing that solo by the end. Like, I would solo it on hard. I would solo it on hard, knew where everything is, knew where to hide so the boss couldn't hit you. That's how good I got at that game. And hearing that this is coming out and seeing that it's addressed all of my issues, I want to play it. Now, is it going to be cross-platform, like online play?
I hope so.
I'm going to assume that...
What console or system am I getting it on? That's what I need to know, because it comes down to you two.
I can play it on any system except PC, because I don't have a powerful enough PC to play it.
We have to wait on cross-play options. I've signed up for the beta on PC.
Okay, if it's PC, we can probably play it on or Xbox.
Yeah, if it's that's the way, then yeah, I'll get it on
because
Xbox.
I have the old... I'm wondering, is anything carry forward from the first game for me if I have a save file?
Yeah, is there some sort of reward
system?
They'll
probably give you something. I can imagine.
Appearances, maybe. That's
yeah.
All
I mean. If you're getting it on PC and not PS4, then my other friends that I used to... Like, my old coworkers play it on Xbox One, so I might have a bunch of people I can play with.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that would be the way to go. It would probably be Xbox One for us.
Speaking of another game... that was announced but didn't get a lot of attention. It's been announced for a while. The Destiny 2 expansion, which comes out in September, the Forsaken. Nobody's talking about it.
Because
Destiny 2
is
DOA.
Dead.
And that's terrible.
I paid for that special edition day one. The one that didn't come with the statue, but the second
one. Oh, the one that came with the ghost?
The ghost edition, whatever it's called. The $200 one.
Oh, wow. You went all in.
Not the highest level, though. It was like $159 or something.
Yeah.
Rip off.
I bought it on BattleNet, just the basic stuff.
And it was,
I got
my
Humble
PS4,
Bundle last month.
My PS4 is Destiny Edition.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
That's cool.
It looks awesome. I love it. But Destiny 1 was good.
Dinklage was terrible.
I liked it when they redid it with Nolan North as the ghost. But I liked Destiny 2. The thing is, I never finished the end game into it. And I never had a consistent rating group. So I'm like, fuck it.
Well, this was the thing. Like, the first game disappointed me. The second game...
It got better with The Taken King, but that's the thing. Your game should be awesome out of the gate, not wait for a year expansion.
From Bungie. Like,
yeah, like, this is the guys who made Halo. This should be awesome.
So, I mean, I guess that's pretty much it for Ubi. Ubi showed off some other stuff, too, but nothing...
For Honor.
Yay, seasons.
Who gives a crap?
March or October, you get the new expansion.
October, Marching Fire, yeah.
Whoopie-doo.
Yeah, so that's pretty much it for them.
But I will say this. I like how Ubi is following the games as a service.
Yeah,
because Rainbow Six, For Honor.
Exactly. They release a game, and if it doesn't do well, they don't give up on it like Destiny and keep fucking it up. They really work to address what's wrong with it. They work with the community to say, okay, hey, we screwed up. You guys don't like this. What could we do? Let's do this.
Yeah, that's really something to kind of say, hey, awesome. The next press conference to talk about...
PC.
It happened.
That host, I remember...
I liked Sean Plott.
Immediately after we started watching... One of the first things I covered with Twig was E3 last year. I believe we did it for the Nerd News. I don't know if we did it as a prototype. I can't remember anymore. But we watched it, and we were almost falling asleep watching it to the point where we were doing anything to try to stay awake.
Yeah.
Because it was so bad, so poorly put together. And it's not that
it's not his
aren't
fault.
Bad. It's just how it's produced, because it's basically sponsored by one thing, which is the PC Gamer magazine, which is the last vestige of gaming magazines that isn't run by GameStop.
Yeah.
And the host always look. He always looks like he's high and drunk at the same time. He's like, "Hi guys."
As Day Nine's personality is kind of like that. He's a very bubbly guy. He likes to laugh. The problem is he's being kind of put a little bit out of his element when he does this.
Yeah, that's what it seems to me. He's not comfortable.
He's super. Awesome to watch when he's playing Hearthstone or when he's talking about StarCraft just one on one as a streamer or as a YouTuber. He's amazing, but you put him on stage like that, it comes
because,
off awkward.
Because it's different to engage a camera, because you know who you're performing for. It's different to engage a room.
Exactly.
Well, and that's the thing. I'm not criticizing him. It's nothing wrong with him. It's just I find it funny how different he is from everybody else.
Who is the woman, so Frankie? Who is she from?
Frankie, I'm not sure. I don't know.
We discussed she looked like a weird cross between one of the women from Aliens and Alyssa Milano or something.
No. I figured out what she looked like after extensive research of staring at her multiple times, because I found her oddly attractive. Well, not oddly, very attractive.
I love her hair.
Her accent
was she looks like nice. Nicole Kidman mixed with the girl from The Big Comfy Couch, the clown.
Allison Court, if you're listening, I'm so sorry.
That's and I was like, yes. And
it was a compliment.
Yes, it was. That's what it is. I'm flabbergasted.
But out of the PC gaming thing, I saw three things that caught my attention. I think it was called either The Forgotten City or The Sinking City. It's the Call of Cthulhu-esque game.
Yes, the Sunken City or The Sinking City.
Or something like
I remember that.
That
because the person that came on stage was so much shorter than Sean Plott. I'm like, he's the sinking stage for this guy.
There was Rapture's Rejects.
That looks fun.
That looks the cyanide happiness guys.
Yes, it's Battle Royale, but it's parodying.
It's ridiculous. And the other one that caught my attention, this surprised me, was Hitman 2, especially all the different options. I like how I can kill people with fish, and I can dress up as Toucan Sam.
And there also was a bit of a showing of from Sega all the ports they're putting out.
Yes.
Yeah.
And all the Yakuza.
What they're trying to show is not only are these just basic ports; these aren't ports we just threw up here. They look like they've been optimized to work well on the PC.
Another thing they talked about were two new Walking Dead games. Walking Dead, the final season from Telltale, comes out in August. And then there's another one. They kept saying The Walking Dead. It's from 505 Games, and it's some kind of a first-person shooter. But I'm like, is this true Walking Dead? Because they don't mention Rick. They don't mention anybody else.
If they're saying Walking Dead, it's licensed the property, but is it licensing the show or licensing the comic?
It doesn't look like anything Walking Dead. Other than, okay, there are zombies, but you can say that about anything these days. Oh, Days Gone.
True.
You could flip. That's another thing we never heard anything about this year was Days Gone. But whatever.
Yeah, and I was going to say, the last show they had yesterday was the one from Devolver Digital.
Which is insane as always.
Insane as always. I like that they have a storyline for their actual show that continues from year to year with the crazy host.
And they said openly on Twitter, watch RoboCop before you watch this press conference. It'll make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And I actually wrote to the main press person who helps run that account. I said, look, man, I will satisfy you in ways not describable in human language if you give me a RoboCop game. If they announce next year Devolver Digital RoboCop game, whose D do I have to S and or whose V do I got to do
their,
something to?
Their crypto coins, basically.
Loot box coin.
No, loot box coin. What is it? give us cash. There's just cash.
And the value changes every hour on the hour.
From what I can see, that was a website they did create, and you can get that.
They are actually one of the rumors for Twitter, because their big announcement was that mech game.
Yeah.
They said they were going to have hats that said, "Make Mech America Great Again." Oh, that would have been awesome. Like, these were rumored. I don't know where they actually made them. That would have been awesome.
They're the kings of the high quality subversive presentation.
Because clearly that company is run by trolls.
Oh God, yeah.
And they just don't care. And I think that's amazing.
And I guess the very last thing that they showed was the limited run games had their presser
and Tiny Build.
Very quickly with limited run games. If you don't know who they are, they take digital games that are digital only, and then release them physically in runs of anywhere from 1,000 to 10,000 games. And it's run once, never produced again, although they might be doing more now. They announced like 15 or 20 titles, a lot of Switch titles like Golf Story. Mention here. But they did say that they're going to start taking pre-orders on their games, meaning they're not going to have a finite amount of orders or like a 5,000 run. If they get 20,000 people that want it, they're going to produce 20,000 games. So you're not going to have that scalper aftermarket paying $250 for a game that was regularly $29. So they showed that. They made fun of a lot of the way the press conferences work, making just like they had all CG stage. It was really interesting.
Yeah, it was shot in their office using pre-built assets. Like they put like cardboard cutouts of people, basically. It was pretty bad. It was funny, though.
Well, bad but funny, but their mics always worked. So I tweeted at them that technically their show was better than Sony's.
Tiny Build, which is a small indie developer, they make a game called Secret Neighbor,
It's a spinoff of Hello Neighbor, or like
Hello Neighbor. That's it. And you basically have to run away from this creepy neighbor trying to kidnap you and put you in a basement. Secret Neighbor, you play as a guy who can turn from a kid into this neighbor, and you're kidnapping people to drag into your basement.
It's all collaborative, so. You're playing. It's basically playing like Werewolf, the game where you, like the actual board game, where the idea is you don't know who the secret neighbor is. You're all like little kids running through a house trying to unlock the basement, and then out of the blue, one of you will turn into the bad guy and you attack
them. So you could lure them like, "Hey, come over here. I think I found a key," and then drag them into a room or something.
Their presentation was a similar one where they're preparing for. E3, and they made a music video about making the best game in the world.
And it was so catchy.
It had to be Battle Royale. It had to be, I think it was 1,000 frames per second or a billion frames per second.
And had to have loot boxes.
Had to have 10,000 player versus player because fuck it, they want that. It was making fun of all that. It was a really good song, actually.
Yeah, it was really catchy. Genuinely.
And then they had a second song that was, I think, "We're Gonna Fix It."
Yep.
It was basically all the bugs when it comes out. "Don't worry, we're gonna fix it. We're gonna fix it." And it's a small team. It looked like a few people that made the games, but then they hired an outside studio to make this music video for them.
Yeah, like it looks really funny. Genuinely funny.
But they announced it as an actual press conference when it was clearly just like a 15-minute video.
So our final press conference we're going to talk about here on the prototype, which was not so much a press conference as it was a video, but as always, Nintendo Direct. And this year was a big one in a lot of ways because Nintendo, they opened with Mario Party. Big, awesome.
Mario Party.
Which looks cool.
Yeah.
Dated for October 2nd, I believe. They showed Xenoblade Chronicles 2 DLC.
Which I will automatically...
It's got me funny looks in the break room while I was watching it because there's all of a sudden just a bunch of really loud Japanese...
and the American version has the big boobies because they don't have the slider. Like in Japan, you could select how big they wanted it to be. But here they're like, no.
Enjoy.
We want 38 double Js.
Oh, my God. They showed some mech game. I'm like, okay, it looks weird. I think it's Daemon X Machina or something.
Yeah, Daemon X Machina. It's a...
Mech combat? Okay.
Because Deus Ex Machina.
Oh, right.
Sure.
Okay, cool.
Neat.
But let's get here to what we're really here to talk about. Smash Brothers Ultimate. Every character ever.
Plus one.
The Inklings are coming,
and Ridley from Metroid. I'm excited. Alex was like, "Oh, Mike, shut up."
No, I wasn't like that. I was saying, show me something new. I don't care that you got all the previous characters back. It's clear now, they're jumping around the subject, it's not a new game. It is the previous game with a tweaked. It's similar to Donkey Kong. It's a tweaked engine with better graphics, but it's not a ground up from scratch new title in the
series. I'd argue the balances are different because they did talk quite. Actually, I was actually surprised how much they talked about the competitive scene. Well, they were talking about like dodge cancels, mid air cancels.
They had to show all that stuff up because they had to, because otherwise people would just say, "Isn't this a game we already have?"
Yeah,
but at the same time, you know it would sell stupid well.
Oh, of course. Like, of course. I think that this would sell even more had this been a brand new title.
Nintendo this year, I'm going to predict it right now. Smash will be impossible to find at retail. Switches, again, will be impossible to find.
I don't think they're going to have it impossible. I think they're anticipating this, and I think they're going to have 5 to 10 million at launch ready. And that's the point of making this game not from scratch. This is, they already had the code base to work from, and they tweaked it from there.
They basically, they took the framework, they kept that, stripped away everything else, and put it back in new places,
and tweaked and add characters. There's going to be some DLC characters that they're not talking about now, I guarantee it.
It's going to be all about the roster going forward after release. It'll be just DLC after DLC
because
after DLC.
They have Shulk from the Xenoblade Chronicles 1, but nothing from 2, which was one of their surprise bestsellers last year. But all they have to do is a palette swap and like have a character swap of him.
They actually talked about having characters that were Echo fighters, and one of them was Peach and Daisy. I was cool. Yeah, why isn't he a character already? That's simply just changing the hitbox on
that
Luigi.
That makes me think they're gonna go. They didn't say anything about a season's pass because there can't be really one, but there can be a character pack.
They did that with Smash Brothers on the 3DS and on the Wii U.
Give us 4, release them every 3 months over the course of a year.
Oh, guarantee it. There will be more DLC fighters. Absolutely. They'd be stupid not to. Sakurai even was like, "We don't have much to announce at this time." Bullshit.
They're ready to go. They're just going to wait till it'll drop. And then I think right before launch, they'll be like, "Oh, by the way, we have one extra character to go in."
My guess is there'll be a new character announced every 2 months. Every time there's a Nintendo Direct, they'll do something.
They do a Direct every quarter, I believe.
Oh, then there'll be at least two or three new characters.
Three or four times a year. So it would be that would be when it would make sense to do it. And they also announced, I think, some amiibos for it. But there's going to be a lot more, probably.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's
they better re-release the classics. They actually said all the old amiibos, like if you have ones for Mario, you have the classic Mario, if you have like the Silver Mario and like any of the other game ones, it'll unlock different costumes, different abilities. Plus, if you have trainer data stored on your amiibo from the Wii U version or the 3DS, it carries over.
Do you remember a few years back when they had the Skylanders that had the amiibo support where you just switch the bottom?
Yeah.
And I had to track those down for my brother. Oh, God, they were expensive. Anyway, I wouldn't be surprised if the one from Ubisoft, the R-Wing, that has support to work. They didn't say
it's got to be amiibo compatible. It has to be. That's just a little chip.
Because it doesn't make sense to me why they wouldn't if every game is going to come with it. Like, they'll want to have cross-pollination across everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, press that to the thing and then you get an airstrike or something.
Yeah, or unlock a new costume for Fox or something like that. See, that'd be cool, and that I fully expect. They also talked about briefly about Fire Emblem, The Three Houses, which is another game which I didn't talk about.
That's not a ton shown yet, but I get the feeling that's going to be something that at the next
Nintendo Direct,
which will be what, September?
So 4 months from now.
Probably I think it's going to be a holiday release. They'll want to put that in the same slot that they had Xenoblade Chronicles in last year.
Oh, we didn't talk about Pokemon.
Well, Pokemon's
been talking. Time.
Yeah,
there's still tons of time.
Pokemon, I was going to get to that. They showed off Octopath Traveler briefly.
Yeah.
Because
there's not much more to say, really, about Octopath Traveler. It's coming out July 13th.
There's a demo, tomorrow, I think.
There's a new demo coming. Yes. There's already one out there, but you get a second one.
What they explained, though, is that the second demo, whatever you play in it, can carry forward into the main game. They'll allow an import of that.
That's cool.
So I'm assuming you get to play the first chapter of a couple of the characters, and that save data will keep forward.
That also reminds me of something else that was announced today for the Switch. Long rumored, big deal, Fortnite.
Yay.
But you can play with iOS players, not PlayStation 4 players, Xbox One, and PC.
So you're going to get
destroyed.
Yeah.
Absolutely annihilated. Like all those builders that have everything hotkeyed to a million buttons and just blah, 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 and I build the freaking Taj Mahal.
Yeah, you're basically done, which is unfortunate.
Can Michael do that sound? Blah, blah, blah. There we go.
I thought I had a bad with Black Fag.
It's terrible. We're terrible people.
Oh, no.
but, yeah, I mean, another thing that... What else was the big announcement? Like half their presentation
Nintendo
was all Smash.
Nintendo did not have a lot of announcements. This is the thing that I think is taken away from a lot of the show is the quality of the games was great. There's not a lot of quantity this year.
Yeah, they're doubling down on established franchises.
Like, the only... Microsoft revealed more, like, they talk about exclusive, all that crap.
50 games, 18 exclusives.
They showed off 50 games. That is more than everybody else combined.
Yeah.
They showed off more than every single other one combined. I'm willing to bet, at least, I'm 80% sure.
Okay, so let's talk about holiday
games. And the other thing they did, too, they subtly just said, by the way, we're making a new Xbox. It's coming out soon.
I just thought of something. You know what? Okay, in terms of press conferences, Microsoft won. Here's why. As you said, games and exclusives. However, I tell you who won E3 this year based upon something very, very, very simple. Nintendo has won from a selling standpoint. They have got holiday locked up. What does Sony have exclusive this year that will move a console?
That will move
Spider-Man.
Move a console?
Spider-Man's exclusive, and that's it.
Spider-Man, Last of Us.
Last of Us has not been dated.
Not been dated for this year?
And Kingdom Hearts has not been... It's been dated, but January. I'm talking Christmas.
They have that... I'm trying to think of something else that was already announced that they didn't show. Cause
Tomb Raider, but that's not exclusive.
Ghost of Tsushima.
Not dated.
Not dated either?
Nope.
So for the fall and winter, they've got a lot of...
Multiplats.
I was going to say, I don't know if anything else that was big this year, because Detroit already came out, and that wasn't going to be a system mover anyway. So they've got nothing. That's why people were holding out for Final Fantasy VII.
Same with Microsoft. What do they have this year? Tristan, you and I talked about this.
Oh.
Or was it you? Who was it who talked to me? I think
it was
you.
I said, without Terry Crews, that game is garbage.
This year, they have Forza.
Yeah.
That's not going to move a console. What's going to move a Switch? Pokemon.
Everything.
Smash Brothers. Starlink.
Nintendo's are the kings.
Honestly,
party content.
Oh, yeah. I know people that haven't bought a Switch yet, and they're looking at Octopath Traveler as their entrance point.
Yeah, one of my close friends hasn't bought a Switch yet because he's waiting for just the right games to come out, and they are coming out
and
this year.
Some people will say like they want, before they'll buy a new system, they're more conservative on it, they want 10 games that are worth it. You've got from last year, Mario, Kingdom Battle, like Mario Odyssey, Kingdom Battle. You got Zelda.
Odyssey, of course.
You have, that was...
Okay. Mario versus Rabbids.
Mario versus Rabbids. You've got Xenoblade Chronicles. That's an exclusive. You've got... this year, Donkey Kong came out.
Yep.
Toad Treasure Tracker is coming out as a port. You've got Mario 8 Tennis Aces. You've got Octopath Traveler. You've got Pokemon. And at least one or two more titles that are first party. It seems every month they have a new title coming. Oh, Kirby. There's 10 already.
And there's the multiplats that are now portable because the Switch is portable. You can play Doom on the go. Yes, you can play Skyrim on the go.
Wolfenstein.
In a year and a half, they have about 10 titles that are an 8 or a 9 out of 10 that are exclusive.
And now they've got Fortnite.
Yes. And that's, play Fortnite anywhere? Well, with an internet connection.
Like, that's an amazing complement of titles.
Every week, they have between 10 and 15 or more digital copies of these indie titles coming out that are either exclusive or are better played portable than they would be on the PlayStation or Xbox.
Now, here's something that they didn't talk about. They did not talk about their online service.
At all, which is supposed to launch in September.
Yeah,
a little concerned. So, know what's going to happen? They're going to... I guarantee you that right when Pokemon comes out, they'll have a Direct talking about Pokemon, and they're going to talk about the online play.
They're going to talk about the online play, and they're going to link them together in some way, saying, okay, this will give you access to the Pokemon account that you have here, all your extra storage.
To store your stuff from between your game, between the mobile app and that.
I do like how you can transfer your Pokemon back and forth. You can even ride. One thing they showed during the Treehouse Direct today is you could ride Onix around, and you're sitting on top of him just going...
I want to ride a Snorlax, bear fucker.
I want a Psyduck to hang out behind me. I am so excited for just to have a Psyduck. Or even like Mewtwo hanging out. Hell, actually, exclusive they announced. The Pokeball is Mew.
Yeah.
That's enough to get me to buy it.
Yeah, unfortunately, it is enough to get me to buy it. But it's kind of a cheap...
You bastard.
It's like you...
I thought I was out. You dragged me back.
Snivy little bastard.
That controller, is it going to work like one of those gotcha things that are out there that auto-catch for you?
No, you actually have to.
So it's only for the system, so it's not going to be paired to your phone. So that means you've got to buy an auto catcher for your phone if you don't want to sit there all day trying to catch things on the go. So now you've got four pieces of equipment you gotta have.
It's Nintendo. Yeah. They do this. Peripherals, that's their thing.
They're the masters of it. And we will buy it hook, line, and sinker.
Oh, yeah. And I mean,
what, who has been born and played Pokemon since 1996 that has not wanted a Pokeball with a Pokemon in it?
And the fact that you can just clip it to your belt and just walk around, that's so cool. Well, you're literally Ash Ketchum now.
Yeah. Well, especially since this is basically, it'll be the 20th anniversary of when the first one came out. Like, I remember being in the fourth grade or fifth grade, and people stopped playing on the field. We're talking 200 or 300 kids with Game Boys sitting on the pavement playing.
Yep. Yeah.
Boys and girls. It was one of the first times I saw literally a lot of girls playing games at school, too. Everybody had a Game Boy, and everybody had that game.
It was a convention. Like, Pokemon is the convention game.
It was the only reason to get the link cable.
Yeah. Hell. Like,
if you brought the link cable to school, you were a champion.
Let me tell you, this year's MAGFest or PAX East is going to be nuts. With all the Pokeballs, all the Fortnite, all the Smash. It's a good time to be a Nintendo fan.
And Mario Party.
And Mario Party. Yeah, holy shit. And
you can't discount Mario Party.
From looks, I think it's 8-player Mario Party, too.
Yeah.
And they've done that before, but I have a feeling the Switch is a little better capable of handling that.
And you can, like, set it on a table and move it around with multiple Switches. I don't want to play like that, but it looks cool. I appreciate what Nintendo's bringing to the innovation table.
Yeah, there's a lot of potential in that customization.
You said Ridley's coming, but also you basically jumped in the air when
Snake came back.
Snake, and then immediately after, because Konami, if they're going to license one, they're going to license another, and the assist Bomberman.
You give me Simon Belmont, I'm going to pre-order that game tomorrow.
That's really the only other franchise that Konami has now.
Castlevania, yeah, they haven't touched it.
So don't be surprised if that's one of the things they announce.
I wonder if they brought all the characters back. I wonder if they brought back all the assist trophies, like Gray Fox, Knuckles, Tails.
Maybe.
Probably.
Maybe,
The ultimate compilation of everything.
It's going to be so cool. I'm so looking forward to this. My God, I'm going to destroy you two in it.
Probably.
I got to practice.
I play Garrett. Pit, and I'm annoying.
Watch out for the kids that are coming up. They're getting good at these games.
Man. It's going to be fun. You know what? That's going to be a fun, like, hey, Garrett, come downstairs. But I'm 10. Don't care. I need someone who's good at Smash to play against.
He's training.
Good. That's good. But that's pretty much our thoughts on this year's E3 coverage. I think this year was a really good E3. Not a lot of games.
Well, I was going to say, how would you rate like each individual? How would you rate it as a whole and the individual shows?
As a whole, this was a solid B year.
It was a B for me. It wasn't great. It wasn't bad. It was just there.
It was good.
I'm not frothing at anything, no. But I'm happy.
I am over the moon for Fallout and Resident Evil.
Comparatively to last year, I'd have to say last year would be an A- compared to... it was better than this.
Microsoft's press conference this year was the best.
It was spread out. Everything was better overall last year. The few things that were better this year than last year were way better. It's just, it was few and far in between. Like, if we had to go, EA had a C- show, in my mind.
Yeah.
I would go...
Square Enix was the worst performer.
Microsoft, I'm going next. Microsoft was an A- for me.
Yeah.
It just missed a little bit to give it over the top.
Mm-hmm.
Microsoft was an A-. Square was, a D-, F. It was an F, honestly. Yeah. They showed a couple things, but the games they showed, again, weren't enough. Then you go Ubisoft. Ubisoft for me was a B.
Yeah.
Then you've got the smaller companies. They're an A for me, with limited run games, because they're hilarious. But they don't really count. They're not really part of the main press.
Sony did pretty good.
The PC gaming one was an F-. It's always an F-.
It was better than last year's, though.
The other one was like that.
Why'd you bother show up?
R, need for medial attention. Need to fail, redo the grade. Yeah, it was an F+ this year. Last year was an F-. Then you've got... we talked about Square. We talked about that. We talked about Ubi. Nintendo?
I think they should have spread it out a little bit
Nintendo
more.
Nintendo, for me, was only a B+. There wasn't enough to it.
Yeah.
I could have thrown it in one of the other days.
And
it didn't need its own day.
Sony, as the games were an A, but they did show... The show itself was a D-.
Yeah, the presentation was very, very off.
So overall, it's between... Ubisoft was good, but they had some technical issues too. It's between Microsoft and Nintendo, and honestly, Microsoft did a better show.
Yeah, because they showed trailer, well, trailer, trailer.
They were
trailer.
The only ones that did a traditional, big, elaborate show.
Yeah.
And they had to, because last year's was so bad.
Because they didn't have anything to show. I'm like, hey, here's Forza 7.
So many
or 6 or whatever.
And, oh, by the way, we canceled this project, so we won't talk about it.
Yeah, won't talk about Scale Mail or Dragon Scale, whatever it was.
Scale Form.
And Crackdown, November 17th. Nobody's, nope, February no. now. Yeah. 2019.
And who cares?
And who cares, honestly?
Who cares? Like, if we end up getting a copy to review, it's going to be... It's going to take every effort.
A lot
effort.
To impress me.
It's going to take a lot to impress, and it's going to take a lot to be impartial on it, because you've got to take that baggage of how long it took to develop and how many problems it had and put it aside.
Yeah. So, okay. Last question to the room. What was your game of the show? What was your most disappointing or thing you didn't see? Let's start with Tristan.
I didn't see Final Fantasy VII.
Okay.
And honestly, I'm probably most... Of course, I'm excited for the Nintendo games, but I've already known they were coming. So yeah. they're exciting, and Smash is great, but it's still just... It's not a port, but it's a compilation of everything that's already existed. So it's not new.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd have to say I'm most excited for Fallout 76.
Okay. Alex?
For me, Final Fantasy not being there was one. But what I really was disappointed with was nothing from BioWare for Dragon Age. They had teased at the end of the game, the previous one. We're now 4 years away, and we've seen nothing, except that they said they were working on something even a couple of years ago. Who knows if plans had changed because of Andromeda? But I know all the focus right now is on Anthem. But having a single screenshot, or even a teaser saying, hey, our team is starting to work, or... Not even showing, just showing like the region they're supposed to be in, like some sort of just in the background, a teaser, a text message, something. But the fact that they have nothing disappointed me a lot. My most anticipated after this is the same as it was last year, which is Cyberpunk.
Yeah,
which was a cool way to end Xbox's show.
Which one of the cool things about the Cyberpunk trailer? Do you remember when all that code was coming down?
Yeah.
Each of those was an Xbox download code for The Witcher 3.
I know. I saw.
I thought that was.
I saw the amount of digits, and I knew it was there. I knew it was a code. I didn't know for what though.
Yeah, I was thinking that's Xbox Live formatted.
And
that's weird.
I mean, they have made an ungodly amount of money off of Witcher, way more than they ever expected.
Yeah.
So it was enough for them to fund this game and then also start other projects on the side. But we finally got to see more. We didn't see gameplay.
It's allegedly on the floor right now.
So that's the thing. I think we're going to see more streams coming up showing it.
Yeah.
It is one of the best technically looking games I've seen from a studio that's not headed by a giant corporation.
Those Swedes know how to make a game. Finnish people.
They are CD Projekt. I think they're Czech.
I don't know. Either way, they're European and they look amazing.
They're Czech or Polish. One of the two. Don't hate us for forgetting the wrong Eastern European. It's part of the Baltic countries. One of those.
For me, most disappointing was Sony, because they didn't do anything with backwards compatibility. There was a rumor that they were going to talk about PlayStation Now and potentially offer something with PS2 and PS3. Not kind of surprised we didn't hear anything about the PS Now service. Anything. That surprised me.
And still no crossplay. Come on,
still
man.
Still no crossplay.
Sony be cool.
My game of the show is a tie between Fallout 76... because it does sound amazing. I'm a little worried about the online thing. And probably The Last of Us 2, because it was gameplay. It seemed a little too scripted, but it looks amazing. And the fact that Ellie has a girlfriend, and I saw this article on Kotaku saying this was the most technical and beautiful video game kiss they've ever seen. I cannot dispute that. It looked real.
Yeah, it was very visceral.
Yeah, like Naughty Dog knows how to pull out the right punches.
In the darkness, like that fight.
Yeah.
From a distance, a family member walked by while I was watching and said, "What movie are you watching?" Now, when you got close, oh, it's a game.
Although,
at a distance, it looked real.
You know what's weird about this, and this will be my final thought on The Last of Us, they didn't show any of the infected. It was all human enemies. That's kind of weird. I was surprised we didn't see any of the Cordyceps zombies this time. So I don't know, maybe that threatened the world's progress.
Cordyceps is just kind of its own thing. Maybe it's contained.
Yeah, it's there, but it's not.
Now it's the chaos of what's left of humanity.
Yeah. So, anyway, guys, hope you've enjoyed this content. We invite you to get involved in the show. Alex is posting these things to YouTube now. You can check that out. Feedback at thisweekingeek.net. Always want to hear from you. Our voicemail line, 817-717-7202. On Twitter, at thisweekingeek. You can find me, at Birdman Dodd. Also, you can find
Mr. Tristopher at Mr. Tristopher. Also at youtube.com/C/Mr. Tristopher.
Ooh, because he's over 100 subs now. Subscribe to this motherfucker or I'll beat the shit out of you. We also have
at Alex at Turner Treasure. Subscribe on YouTube, please.
Or we'll beat the shit out of you.
We want to expand, and it's something you can have on. We're going to have playlists up so you can just have it going.
Exactly. And if you don't,
I'll
beat the shit out of you.
I'll hurt your parents.
Okay.
Ooh, that's personal.
Yeah, we're going to beat the crap out of your grandmother.
And,
anyway.
And I'll explain why I'm hurting them so that they know not to love you anymore.
They know exactly what they did.
I wasn't supportive.
Anyway, my friends, my gentle folk, this has been our coverage for E3 2018. We have been
Alex,
Mr. Christopher.
I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd, saying live free or die hard. We'll catch you guys again next time right here on Twig, the flagship of stupidity. Boom, 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 boom